Let's do it. It's go time.
Welcome to Go Time, your source for wide-ranging discussions from all around the Go community. If you like this show, you'll love the Changelog. It's news on Mondays, deep technical interviews on Wednesdays, and on Fridays, an awesome talk show for your weekend enjoyment. Find us by searching for the Changelog wherever you listen to podcasts. Big thanks to our partners at Fly.io. Launch your app in 5 minutes or less all around the world. Learn how at Fly.io. Okay, here we go.
What's up, Gophers? You know we're big fans of Fly.io, and I'm here with Kurt Mackey, co-founder and CEO of Fly. Kurt, we've had some conversations, and I've heard you say that public clouds suck. What is your personal lens into public clouds sucking, and how does Fly not suck?
All right, so public clouds suck. I actually think most ways of hosting stuff on the internet sucks, and I have a lot of theories about why this is, but it almost doesn't matter. The reality is if like I've built a new app for like generating sandwich recipes because my family's just into specific types of sandwiches that use Braunschweiger as a component, for example. And then I want to like put that somewhere. You go to AWS and it's harder than just going and getting like a dedicated server from Hetzner. It's like, it's actually like more complicated to figure out how to deploy my dumb sandwich app on top of AWS because it's not built for me as a developer to be productive with. It's built for other people. It's built for platform teams to kind of build the infrastructure of their dreams and hopefully create a new UX that's useful for the developers that they work with. And again, I feel like every time I talk about this, it's like, I'm just too impatient. I don't particularly want to go figure so many things out purely to put my sandwich app in front of people. And I don't particularly want to have to go talk to a platform team once my sandwich app becomes a huge startup and IPOs and I have to like do a deploy. I kind of feel like all that stuff should just work for me without me having to go ask permission or talk to anyone else. And so this is has informed a lot of how we built Fly. Like, we're still a public cloud. We still have a lot of very similar low-level primitives as the bigger guys. But in general, they're designed to be used directly by developers. They're not built for a platform team to kind of cobble together. They're designed to be useful quickly for developers. One of the ways we've thought about this is if you can turn a very difficult problem into a two-hour problem, people will build much more interesting types of apps. And so this is why we've done things like made it easy to run an app multi-region. Most companies don't run multi-region apps on public clouds because it's functionally impossible to do without a huge amount of upfront effort. It's why we've made things like the virtual machine primitives behind just a simple API. Most people don't do like code sandboxing or their own virtualization because it's just not really easy. There's just no path to that on top of the clouds. So in general, like I feel like, it's not really fair of me to say public clouds suck because they were built for a different time. If you build one of these things starting in 2007, the world's very different than it is right now. And so a lot of what I'm saying, I think, is that public clouds are kind of old. And there's a new version of public clouds that we should all be building on top of that are definitely gonna make me as a developer much happier than I was like 5 or 6 years ago when I was kind of stuck in this quagmire.
So AWS was built for a different era, a different cloud era, and Fly, a public cloud, yes, but a public cloud built for developers who ship. That's the difference. And we here at Changelog are developers who ship. So you should trust us, try out Fly, fly.io, over 3 million apps, that includes us, have launched on Fly. They leverage the global anycast load balancing, the zero config private networking, hardware isolation, instant WireGuard VPN connections with push button deployments, scaling to thousands of instances. This is the cloud you want. Check it out, fly.io. Again, fly.io.
And welcome to Go Time, the final episode. I'm Matt Raya, and for the last time, please welcome my co-hosts. Johnny Borsico's here, Chris Brando, Ian Lopshire's here, Angelica Hill, and from Changelog, Jared Santo. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. How's it going?
Hi.
How you doing, Johnny?
How do you think Ray's going? How do you think it's going? Yeah, it's great. It's great, Matt. It's great.
Oh, this is great. This is like a Oh, I love this. This is like a bar. Is that with metal put a bar, isn't it?
Yeah, drinks in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too, but I am 5 hours ahead. Well, look, can we just reflect on what an amazing journey we've all been on here? It's kind of amazing to see and think about. Like, we met up weekly, live, talked about computers. This back catalogue will remain available for everybody. And Jared, is it 340 episodes then?
That's correct. This is episode 340.
Yeah, so.
Which is not an insignificant number, I don't think.
No, it's 2 weeks of continuous content.
That makes us sound kind of like, insignificant, actually.
If we just went 24 hours a day, nonstop, listening to, okay.
Highly recommend.
Yeah. Well, no, but if something happens and you've got 2 weeks left and you think, what can I do? Just get into Go Time.
That's one of the things you could do. You could do the entire Go Time.
Yeah, binge the
lot. The meter is coming. You got to binge it before it's over.
Yeah. I mean, if you have done that and you've reached this point, you know, best of luck to you. Best of luck. And remembering back as well, Brian, Eric, Carlisi, the original hosts of Go Time. 79 episodes they did. So, yeah, and there were some great ones. Their version of Go Time was very personal, wasn't it? So it was about personalities, meeting people, digging into their lives. And I remember like hearing and meeting a lot of people that way.
Yeah, theirs was really cool. I feel like the unfortunate thing was having three people on a show, is especially three busy people who all have jobs, is that we couldn't keep it going regularly. And so we had to stop, put it on hiatus, and come up with a better plan. And that better plan has helped sustain it for the next how many years? That was 2019. So 6 years almost, which was to get more people to hang out. And if you get 6, 7, 8 regular co-hosts, you can scratch together 2 or 3 every week. And that proved to be a winning formula. And that's why y'all are here, right?
Yeah.
6 years is a real long time for a podcast. So,
yeah, 6 years. That's just the reboot.
Yeah.
What do you think, Angelica?
I mean, I joined late to the party. I learned what Go was. And then, like, 6 months later, I was like, yeah, I'll be on Go Time. So,
it's phenomenal.
I mean, I have been able to see kind of the growth a little bit from like 2020 onwards, because we have, although we've had like our lovely band of co-hosts, I think it has evolved even in the last few years in terms of the kind of content we do, started leaning into like series. I think we as hosts got more into a groove and like what kind of episodes we like doing. Got amazing array of different guests. So although I didn't have the pleasure of listening to the older episodes when they came out, I have gone back since and listened to them, and they're brilliant. But I kind of like that Go Time throughout its life has gone through different phases of kind of tones, hosts, focuses, formats. I think it's what has enabled us to remain so relevant and interesting for so long. And I think that is honestly a big part of why having so many different hosts, I think, has been great, is we all bring our own little flavors, our little styles, what we like to think about. I think it's been brilliant. Well, obviously, I'm biased because, you know, we're all sitting here now because we all think it's brilliant and great.
So maybe a little context for our listeners. If you're just getting caught up and you're like, what? This is the last episode of Go Time. Yes, it is. You are now caught up. This will be the finale of Go Time, 340 episodes. And this is not a cancellation or a failure of Go Time. Go Time has been very strong, I think, ever since we put it on reboot, and we've been putting out episodes pretty much every week for a long time, and have a lot of listeners, a lot of loyal listeners, a lot of friends that we've made along the way, and a lot of people who are undoubtedly not happy about Go Time going away because it's something that they love. And myself and Adam, my partner in Crime at Changelog, are well aware of that. I'm a podcast junkie. I've had my favorite show disappear. I know what that feels like. But this is not just a Go Time thing. This is actually a Changelog-wide decision that we made to refocus on the main thing, which is the Changelog podcast. And we're actually stopping production of not just Go Time, but JS Party and Ship It and Practical AI, everything that's not the Changelog. And the reason for that, they are varied. But in brief, we built out this portfolio of shows to a point where we're putting out 7 episodes every single week. And we did that to the best of our ability for years now. And I think we did an all right job, but we got to the point where we couldn't really do anything else because we had 7 episodes to put out every single week. And the fact is that Adam and I want to spend time doing other things, experimenting, exploring. I want to write more code than I currently was writing. And so this was a decision that he and I made in order to help that become a reality. So unfortunately, GoTime, along with our other pods, which we love, which is why we haven't done this, we finally did it, is going to be retired because of that. However, it's not all bad news, y'all, because the GoTime crew are not retiring from podcasting. Of course, Matt, Johnny, Angelica, Ian, Chris, and Natalie are all welcome on Changelog and Friends. Matt might even be on the very first Changelog and Friends episode of the new year. And there's a brand new Go podcast in the works called Fall Through, which I hear Gophers love fall throughs in their code. And so we're here to talk about that as well. But that's just a little bit of the why and the context around what's happening. Matt, back to you.
Well, thank you very much, Jared. I really appreciate that. I think it's worth saying that, you know, GoTime wouldn't exist without Changelog. And GoTime has been a big part of the Go community and helping shape that community. I think we were able to put voices out that you wouldn't perhaps otherwise hear from sometimes. We got like loads of technical content together. There's some really like actionable knowledge episodes. Like this is a big resource and it's still relevant thanks to like Go's backward compatibility promise. There's a lot of the content, and a lot of it also isn't specifically about language syntax, which may change over time. It's all still relevant. So it's like this big corpus now of knowledge that we've put together. So I'm very grateful to you and everyone at the team and all the co-hosts, like you know, the whole podcast, I think it was just kind of something to be really proud of. So I'm very grateful for it. So I'm really pleased it happened. And yeah, it's a bit sad that it's coming to an end, but it makes sense. And I'm excited to see what's next.
Yeah, hear, hear. For me personally, you know, GoTime was definitely a way for me to dive deeper into the world of Go. It sort of gave me an opportunity to sort of share my passion for the language, for the community. And it was always amazing whenever I'd go to a Go conference and people would come up and say, "Hey, you're Johnny from GoTime, right?" I'm like, yeah. Or somebody would hear my voice. Like they would be like having a conversation somewhere. They'd hear my voice. They'd tell me like, "I know that voice. Like, where do I know your voice from?" I'm like, "Do you happen to listen to a podcast on Go?" And like, "Yeah, that's you. That's how." Like, it would be amazing to like get those you know, sort of interesting situations where, you know, people like would put a face to the name and everything else, and to kind of see the impact. Like, you don't think about it. We get on these podcasts and do these recordings every week, and oftentimes we do them and we enjoy each other's company while we record, but we don't often think about sort of the downward impact, right, of the people who then, you know, download it and they listen to it, right? We don't think of how far that sort of reaches, that domino effect. And sort of seeing that and hearing about the impact of the show over the years. And it's been an incredible journey, an amazing journey. And I personally, you know, thank, you know, the Changelog team for, you know, reaching out to me all those years ago and saying, "Hey, we're putting together this podcast. Here's the capacity in which you can contribute." Right. And yeah, it's been one of those great things that I'm very proud of, you know, to have been able to be a part of it. And I'm definitely going to miss it. But, you know, everything comes to an end, right? So perhaps, you know, this particular door closes, but other things, you know, will open up, right? We already know that we've got, you know, Fall Through kind of spinning out of that, right? That's going to be, you know, fun and interesting, I'm sure. And new things are gonna emerge out of that. So this ending, so to speak, is not happening on a sad note, right? I'm definitely happy about that. This is not because, you know, this show and others, right, in the Changelog catalog were failures, right? I think Changelog has done such an amazing job of creating these communities around these shows and by proxy, just furthering those communities and helping them sort of grow. So definitely, you know, lots of gratitude there to the Changelog and Jared, you doing that production work even before you brought on Jason to help with that, like, you know, like week after week, you know, scheduling and all the things that have happened behind the scene that people have no idea about, right? All that work and all that labor, you know, and I definitely think you and the rest of the Changelog team, you know, do deserve, you know, a bit of a break and to try, you know, find time to sort of explore and see what's next and what's new. But yeah, overall, you know, I'm quite happy with what we accomplished together, for sure.
Oh, that's lovely, Johnny.
I wasn't being sarcastic.
Yeah, I was about to say almost as nice as your sweater, Matt. But
yeah, we'll ignore Matt. Go ahead. Yeah. Ignore
Matt. That's what we all do. No, because I realized it sounded sarcastic when it came out, but I didn't mean it.
Matt just cannot not sound sarcastic. It's a double negative.
I was going to say though, you're right, Johnny. It's not like we're ending on like nice terms, and I think that is important. It's not because of a fight. Like we're at a conference, Johnny, and then we're playing around, and right. You went too far, and then you got me in a headlock for ages and wouldn't let go.
Right.
Something like that.
That would be awkward.
Yeah, that would be awkward.
That never happened. Yeah.
That did not happen. No. So that's what I'm saying.
Let Ian talk.
Yeah. I want to hear from Ian.
No, I was just kind of piggybacking off something Johnny said. I remember early in my career finding Go Time back when Brian, Eric, and Carlicia were still hosting it and learning about GopherCon and making it to GopherCon and meeting them. And yeah, so without Changelog and Go Time, I'm not sure I'd be sitting here today. Like, it matters.
Yeah, I can echo that. I genuinely, I don't think you can really measure the impact it's had on your career, genuinely. I know for a fact it's impactful. I mean, I get it too. I got recognized in an airport once in San Francisco just because of my voice. It's a bit creepy.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's weird,
yeah,
right?
But still, like, nice. You know, they were a Go programmer, so, you know, got to have a certain level of intelligence.
Well, you also get to go out there at the GopherCon stage and like sing Unpopular Opinions with the crowd, didn't you? I mean, that had to be a moment for you, Matt.
Oh, yeah. That's true. The live shows.
Tell us that.
Yeah, those live shows. We do the Gophers Say and we have a lot of fun messing around. They're very fun to do. They're like a complete little subcategory of their own. I realized we did six of those episodes. Yeah. So this is the game show thing. We usually get some of the speakers up from the conference and then we play a game. The atmosphere in the room is a lot better than we were ever able to capture on audio,
yeah,
which is a shame. And I think we did crack it in the end. Like, I think we know how to do it now. But so maybe we'll keep
for the next one. We know how to do it for the next one.
Yeah, yeah. They can still happen at the conferences.
Out of retirement for that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I love those. Those are really funny. A little bit of the behind the scenes of that. So this is mostly Eben at GopherCon Europe, where Matt and Natalie oftentimes are on stage. Sometimes it's just Matt. But I'm literally here halfway around the world in Nebraska running the Gophers Say game board with multiple inputs to Matt. I have a cell phone call in his ear. I'm giving him like information. And then we also have the sound coming out of the soundboard, traveling around the world and then playing live there. There was one time where it was like, it would play twice and we just couldn't do anything about it. So it was like double inside in the auditorium. But the shining moment for me was the time where Matt got the entire crowd, and maybe to our listener, maybe you were there for that one. I was, and I was here in Omaha hearing them sing Unpopular Opinions together in unison. It was like a chorus. It was amazing. And unfortunately, we couldn't capture the audio that did it any justice to play it on the episode that ensued. But man, that had to be just such a fun moment. This silly little jingle that Matt wrote on a whim for Unpopular Opinions becoming such a staple was just a really cool thing that you can't really plan, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, those moments are so fun. And it's fun for me hosting those game shows because I feel like a proper TV person at that point. Mm-hmm. Because I've got literally like Jared's in my ear and he can hear me through the other stuff. It's honestly, it's the coolest I've ever felt, basically. and we, you know,
it's probably the coolest you've ever been, actually.
Yeah, it probably is. Looking back, I think it probably is. One time I did kick, I screwed up some paper and kicked it and it hit a wall and rolled along a shelf and then went in the bin. And that's a high contender.
That was the second coolest.
Maybe, yeah. That's a second coolest. But yeah, yeah. It's so fun, yeah. Well, I love that. I love that we got to kind of, it was sometimes we were silly. We did get to be silly on Go Time. You know, it wasn't, and I think that's, I heard people told me that did put them at ease a lot sometimes as well. And made it easier for them to relax and then kind of chat. So I like that about it. Obviously, I like being silly. I also like that we have other hosts with different flavors as well, so that you get this nice variety in style too.
I taste like chocolate.
I bet you do. I bet you do, Johnny.
And Johnny, one of the things that I remember from you, one of your most impactful moments was when you taught me how to eat Cheetos while you're coding. Right?
Is that with chopsticks.
With chopsticks, yeah. Exactly. Chopsticks. This is the kind of stuff you can only learn on GoTime.
You can't put greasy fingers on your keyboards, bro. I mean,
come on. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, but the only issue was this came moments after Johnny chastised somebody for using chopsticks to eat salad.
Oh, I know.
Johnny's like, that's it. That's what you're talking about. That's mad. And then I reached over and got a cheetah, a big cheetah with chopsticks.
It's a double standard. Yes.
Oh, he just admits it. When someone can just admit it's a double standard, where do you go from there? They win, don't they?
Yeah, you just accept it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
So people love their tools, and they usually love choosing them and discussing them. And sometimes it is great to see what exact functionality makes the choice obvious. And quite often, JetBrains IDEs come up in such discussions, and they're usually two. And today we're going to take a look at a couple examples where the code base, the tasks, and the developer benefit from IDE features to the extent that a purchase makes 100% sense. User 9302462 has this to say on Reddit, quote, IntelliJ, IDEA, and Goland takes a little bit to get used to, but all the features it includes makes it way more powerful than VS Code. My company uses TypeScript, and we wanted to do a refactor of 100 plus enums across 5 different repos, which means you can't just change the source in one repo, you have to do it in all repos. And the reason for the refactor is we had different devs working on different programs in order to meet a tight deadline, but there was no standard naming convention, which makes it difficult for the front-end folks to work with. No one wanted to take on this task, and it was kicked down the road for a couple weeks. I chose to take it on one day when there would be no more PRs or possible merge conflicts. It took me about 6 hours to change 80 plus values and function signatures across 5 repositories. Across those repositories, I committed changes to 135 files, including unit tests, with everything passing. Now, why did IntelliJ make this better? Why did this IDE shine? The search functions and refactoring ability are absolutely amazing compared to VS Code. Day-to-day use, where you write 100 lines or more of code a day, not much of a difference, but when you need to do a lot of stuff fast and perfectly, IntelliJ is the winner every time. Side note, out of 25 plus devs, I'm the only one that uses IntelliJ, and when they saw those huge PRs, I looked like a god. They were completely amazed by it, even though in reality, I'm a slightly above average developer. So the $200 license that I paid for personally for IntelliJ saved me lots of hours, and I look really good to my company, which means for year-end review, it should help me boost my annual increase. So IntelliJ will actually put more money in my pocket because I can take on tasks that others see as impossible or just really, really hard. Now, regarding Go specifically, I do use it all the time in my own projects, which are all Go, similar setup with the multiple repos and about 10,000 lines of code, which I have written by hand. So if I want to do a Saturday afternoon refactor of my code, it's really easy to do and doesn't feel like I have to climb a mountain. I can just drive up it. It still works, but there's way less mental resistance when it comes to making things better. That's why I choose JetBrains IDEs, end quote. Okay, a good next step is to go to jetbrains.com/go or jetbrains.com/idea. Either of those two IDEs are amazing. One for Kotlin, one for Go. Both amazing. Once again, jetbrains.com/idea or jetbrains.com/go. Enjoy.
Well, we've been talking about our unpopular opinions category, but we haven't heard much from our unpopular opinion maestro. That's Chris, the king of unpop, with the longest of rants and the most extemporaneous thoughts shared. Chris, say some words.
I love my rants. My rants are fun.
Yeah, if you go listen to that 2 weeks, 1/5 of it will be Chris's rants. Oh, that's true.
You know, probably. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sad that Go Time is ending. I'm glad that it's ending on like such a good note, such a high note. Like, I feel like we've done some really incredible stuff over the past few years, but I'm excited for Fall Through. I'm excited for this spinoff. I'm excited to see what we can do with it and the way that we can kind of carry the spirit of Go Time forward into that show. Mm-hmm. And I can carry my long rants and monologues and unpopular opinions, you know, both those things. We got to say, we can't get rid of them. So yeah, I'm excited that we're not just like ending and saying bye and leaving. I'm excited that we're moving on and doing something else. So there'll still be something for the community.
That certainly has made it a easier pill for us to swallow. Obviously, we love all of our creations here at Changelog, and we didn't want to have to retire anything, but it's so much easier to know that fall through .fm, oh, go like and subscribe, of course, is going to be a thing. JS Party has a spinoff, Shipit has a spinoff, etc. It's just like, if you like these shows, the spirit of the shows will live on because the people that were on the shows want to continue podcasting. And so that makes me happy. And I think it'll obviously has been a lot easier to all the people who've heard about GoTime being finalized is to say, you know what, it's over, but it's not really over. There's other things that are happening. And so they're like, oh, okay. You know, I can put up with that. So I'm excited about that too, Chris.
Yeah. And I think Fall Through is a great name. Where did the name come from?
So interestingly, it was actually a name I'd come up with for a conference that I wanted to start. Maybe we'll start one day. And the idea was it is that, you know, Fall Through, the keyword in Go, it kind of puts you in this non-normative space, right? A place where you usually couldn't get given where you've been. And I was like, oh, I really like that name for that kind of vibe. And then when we were talking about Go Time and spinning off, I was like, okay, well, usually when a podcast ends, it just kind of goes away, but we don't want it to go away. We want it to do something different, something non-normative, which felt like Fall Through was like the right name for that thing. It's like, yeah, we hit the end of what Go Time is, but we're still going to kind of keep going with slightly different parameters in a slightly different way, but it still feels the same. At least that's the goal of it at the end of the day.
Well, I think they're in safe hands with a writer's mind like that at work.
I agree. I heard the name and I was like, oh, once he described it, I'm like, yeah, that's excellent. So.
That's great.
Yeah. So you birth a new show.
Yeah. We fall through to a new show. Exactly.
Johnny, could you possibly be referencing anything?
Hey. You know, you get out of it, you get out of it what you heard out of it.
Okay, so we're going to leave it right there. Fair enough.
But we should mention Natalie also couldn't be here. She did plan to be here. Unfortunately, she couldn't. I think she's, busy, would you say?
That's right.
And, you know, you can still also hang out with Natalie if you go head over to GoFocon EU. So check that out. Yeah, and I usually go to those as well. And everyone should. Have you been to GoFocon EU yet?
I've been, yeah. I was on the stage with you.
Don't say it like that, John. It was an open question.
Yeah, you don't remember?
Yeah, John, it was an open question. Don't say it like I forgot.
Angelica, have you been? Because you're big on GopherCon US.
I mean, ironically, I think it's the only Go conference I've not gone to. Not purposefully. I think it's just the way that the chips have fallen.
Aren't you formerly from the EU?
Formerly, yes.
Sounds like an indictment.
I am formerly.
Why, you forgot your people?
I am formerly from the EU, yes.
You left and then you just turn your back?
That might have been more accusatory than I meant.
Well, I mean, it's not like she left. It's like the UK left. So
that's right. That's right. Angelica didn't go anywhere. Well, I guess she went to New York City, but.
No, ironically, I've not been to go for Corner U, but I hope to go some point.
Yeah.
Not yet, but I hope to. No, but I go to GoFocon and all the other ones, the US-based ones. But I've heard great things.
Yeah, they're fun.
They are fun. And that's the other thing is that a lot of the people, these lovely hosts that you don't see before you, attend a lot of these conferences. So if you're missing us, you can just go to conferences and we'll probably, one or at least two of us might be there. So there's other ways to engage if you're missing us or if you just want to hear our voices. Not that you would, but maybe you do.
Ian, I heard you say earlier that you owe a lot of your career to Go Time. Is that true?
I mean, I would say so. I mean, the Go community.
Okay, no, stop right there. I just want to. So basically, what you're saying is you owe a portion of your earnings.
20% is fine because
to me,
to me, to Johnny personally,
to you.
Golang Johnny's trying to get a check here. Okay.
Johnny trying to steal all the credit.
I thought that was going to be such a beautiful moment.
That was going to be nice.
And I ruined it.
I mean, I think on a serious note, I do feel like, personally, like, Go Time is probably the only reason that I continue doing Go. And also, I think it's one of the few opportunities. I mean, I joked about it at the beginning, but, like, what other conference, podcast, organization would, like, take some, like, squirrel looking hyperactive newbie who like literally like could write a hello world. That was it. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, could write a hello world. That was it. And Jared was like, hey.
What are you saying? We're fools or what?
No, in the best, well, you can judge whether it's a good or bad decision.
I loved it.
But all jokes aside, and like would give me a chance to be on a podcast. And like I actively have learned over the, like, it's made me a better software engineer. It's made me a better gopher. Because I've, like, on most of these episodes, I've had the privilege of like learning actively in that moment from these brilliant people that otherwise I might never have been able to interact with. But being able to say like, hey, I'm a host on GoTime, I want to learn about, I want to dig into XYZ topic, has enabled like me personally to interact with so many interesting, awesome people, but also given me so many other like opportunities that I never would have otherwise got by like taking a chance on people. I think that's the beauty of GoTime. Like we bring on so many different types of people. Like there's not this like high barrier to entry where you have to be some staff engineer, written a book. Like we really do host episodes that are coming from all different walks of life, people, experiences, and we're able to give kind of, I think, I can't remember who said it, but give these people, I think it might have been you, Matt, who might otherwise have not had a forum to be able to have their voices, their opinions heard. And we go, yeah, sounds good. You have interest, something interesting to say. It doesn't matter if you have 1, 10, 50, 6 months, 1 week of Go experience. If this is a topic you feel passionately about, let's get you on. Let's talk about it. Let's expose people to all the different levels and experiences. And so like personally, I felt that, but also I think that's the beauty of GoTime and the role that I feel like, and I've heard it's played in a lot of people's lives and their like Go lives, is that it's a place to feel heard, to feel listened to feel like you're accepted in a way that bluntly, like I think a lot of other like software engineering areas, like there is a higher barrier to entry. I certainly felt this, but there are spaces you go into where you just like don't feel, you feel embarrassed if you're not like a 10-year veteran of the language, sure, who knows 17 languages. And I think that's, it makes me really sad to think that that forum's going to go away, but then extremely hopeful because we have fall through, because we have this continuation, and because you have, you know, all of us lovely hosts who care deeply about these topics, but also care deeply about keeping that accessibility and that openness in the community. So like we'll be able to push it on, but yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's there's definitely something in that. I remember, I mean, I think having different perspectives, like, I think that's in itself really useful because just you learn so much and it's usually very surprising stuff. It was also nice for sometimes the experts didn't know the answer. And I think that was also quite nice for people to also witness. In fact, I heard people talk to me about this, that they heard we had somebody on that was an expert in something. And one of the questions they were like, oh, I have no idea. I'd have to go and dig in and find out. And they talked a bit about how they would find out. And that was actually really useful. Because that's the kind of the skill. You don't, it's not knowing all the things. It's really figuring, knowing how to figure out how to find out those things. And so, yeah, I think it felt very authentic. Like it wasn't any show or trying to really like be bigger than we were or be anything that we weren't. We were, I felt like it was very authentic. And I think that really helped also. So yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Well, it's good, wasn't it?
You learned that some of those people you think are like incredible, like, people are incredible people. They're also human. Like those people that you might hear of or have heard about in the Go community, some like the founders, for example, you get them on the podcast and you hear their funny story about what they ate for breakfast. And it humanizes them in a way that for a lot of the listeners, because they've listened to that one episode where they saw that like Rob Pike's a human, they then might see him at a conference and be like, oh, I remember he said that he liked ducks. Let me go up and just talk about that.
Yeah. It does do that though. It's definitely helped my social skills. It genuinely, like, yeah, because you when you're hosting the podcast, you're sort of forced into a place where you have to kind of carry the show sometimes. And some guests it's very natural and easy and it's just you don't notice the time flying by. Other times it's more difficult to kind of get the show to pick up. Just kind of what happens naturally in normal kind of conversations, I think. But in Go Time you had to sort of get through it. In real life, I'll just say, oh, I'm sorry, my heel is hurting. I've got to go. And I'll just go.
Excuse me, what?
My heel. I'll just pop off. Yeah, it's always specific lie.
That's your go-to?
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, are you all right? Yeah, but it's just my heel. what? Yeah, my heel. It's just a bit. Oh, I'm just going to, and then hobble off.
It's got to be true. That's very specific. It's got to be true.
Exactly. No one's going to make up that lie. Heel. What kind of psychopath would?
Unless they hear this show.
Yeah, you're dropping gems right here, Matt. These are gems. Yeah.
Well, I don't use that now. That was 2023.
Yeah. We didn't always do sort of highly technical episodes, though. Sometimes we'd do like non-technical, even to the point of sort of more like social dynamics kind of talks. I remember we even had, perhaps actually, Chris, you might have led that one. We had a show on neurodiversity, if I remember correctly. That one was completely non-technical, and that was an interesting conversation. And, you know, we even had some, we might have had one or two comments come through on that episode. But yeah, it was, I like the fact that we didn't abide by sort of a strict rule of we must always be nerding out on the particulars, the esoteric ghost stuff, right? Like we would deviate, we would step out of bounds, so to speak, and things that were relevant and you know, by some measure or sort of on the table. And we could sort of feel free to sort of, you know, go in and out, right? And draw outside the lines a little bit, you know, from time to time. And I enjoyed that about the show for sure.
I think that episode was actually organized by Angelica. I think you were the host of that one.
I know. One dream, one team. We don't need to take credit, but yes, it was.
No, credit where it's due. Yeah. Hey.
Well, I heard great things from that, from people at conferences that came up and identified as neurodiverse and said that was just a real big surprise to just have that subject laid out and just discussed openly. Like, so that really did resonate. You can tell the ones that do, because you will hear back in person usually, because people remember it and it stays with them. So that's really nice to see. And I wasn't even part of that episode, but obviously I took credit in the moment, because otherwise it's really awkward. Like I'm saying, oh no, you've been really nice, but I reject that. It should go towards Angelica. I'm not going to do that, am I? I'm going to say, thank you very much.
Sure, they weren't thanking you for not being on. They're like, we appreciate that one.
But I think that's part of what made Go Time so special, is that like none of us have huge egos.
Well,
actually, most of us. I see you, Matt. Most of us don't have big egos.
She looked right at him when she said that.
I looked right at you. So, but I think it's great because we all like brainstormed together, like we supported each other. I remember many an episode where there would be maybe two of us hosting, one of us couldn't make it, and then the other one like stepped up. I think this was really a true collaborative, supportive environment, which again, it all adds to the culture and the vibe and the way that you see us as hosts, like interact with each other. We're not just pretending to like each other. Like we actually do. Like I've got some wonderful friends out of this.
Yeah.
And I think it really is like, we're all in this to create and help the community. We're not in it for ourselves. Like it really is like a joyous community endeavor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When we get together at conferences, you know, we see each other, we hug, we hang out, we, you know, it's like it's a continuation, right? We just pick up right where we left off, right? Kind of thing. Yeah. So, and that definitely helps when you're kind of running a show day in and day out. Like when you see each other as, you know, hey, like these people are literally my friends. Like I can, you know, when I see them, like I'm happy to see them, right? That definitely helps with doing this.
You guys are really setting up this Go Time reunion panel that you're going to do 5 years from now. Where are they now? You know,
this reminds me, Johnny, though, when we were in Berlin, because we did exactly that. As soon as I was so excited to see Johnny in Berlin, I gave him a hug.
Yeah.
Gave him a hug, and I just thought this.
Johnny didn't even remember it, Matt. He didn't even remember it.
No, he does remember. He doesn't mention it earlier. He thought I'd forgotten about it.
Oh, you forgot it. That's right.
What he thought. No, I remember it well.
No. I forgot who forgot.
No, but you gave me a nice, nice long hug. And you were like, big hug, you feel great, mate. And I was like, it's a little awkward, well, Matt. But
all right, I just on the record, I'm not sure if that's. But I did hug it and think, this guy works out. Do you know what I mean? For sure. There is no doubt about it.
You had enough time to feel around.
Oh, it's obvious, isn't it?
Hey, when you get a shot to hug Golang Johnny, you know, you really take advantage of it.
You gotta get in there.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Golang Johnny.
Otherwise, how's the sculpture gonna look any good? I can just hear horns going, one of you New Yorkers, no doubt.
Oh, seriously.
That's my bad.
It's New York. There's always horns.
Yeah, that's one diversity area we failed on. You know, we got too many New Yorkers on this podcast.
I mean, it's the same for Fall Through. I mean, like 3/4 of us on Fall Through are in the New York City metro area. So
you gotta fix that, man. You gotta fix it.
Goodness.
You know any good Nebraskans that can join us?
I would be happy to join Fall Through at any moment's notice. I just won't have any good things to say.
I would love to, but I want to move to New York. I'll move to New York too, though. I'd love to live in New York for a bit. I might do it.
You should. What's stopping you?
The sweater.
They don't check this. They don't check your luggage for that, do they? Is that what they're putting it through the machines for? They're like, no, that's going to look terrible in Central Park.
Stop you at customs. Stop you, sir. You can't bring that. You can't bring that in here.
This would kill in Central Park. Chris, back me up.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think we should be talking about killing your Central Park right now. But
oh yeah.
Too soon.
Sorry.
Oh man.
Oof. That was another thing we always would do, is put our foot in it sometimes, which is quite fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got away with it though, I think.
I did have my microphone backwards for an episode. Chris, never let me live that down.
Did everything you say come out in reverse? Like, I just
it's just when Ian has audio issues, I'm like, oh, is your microphone backwards? And
so how'd you finally figure it out?
It wasn't a whole episode. It was just like the warm-up time. But like,
Ian, were you speaking into the cable bit that plugs into the computer? What do you mean the wrong way around?
It was just sitting backwards. The cardioid was pointing at my monitor.
They don't make them obvious enough for that to be embarrassing, I don't think.
Is that a horn?
Somebody's seriously mad.
Yeah, that's New York for you.
There's a school bus outside.
That is a sustained honk.
Oh, yeah, no.
I feel that's a good question. Jared, do we ever have any sections of episodes that had to be like completely cut because they were just like not suitable for air? I feel like we like fluffed up and did a few things that were a little bit dodgy, but none that I would think were like... None that felt to me, at least, full-blown, right. Like, why did we say that? Like, that needs to be cut.
Not that I can think of. I know sometimes we would take longer conversations and maybe put them in the Changelog plus bonus because it's just like, this went on for way too long. And so nobody...
Chris.
Hey!
Anytime Chris goes, and another thing, you're like, oh, here we go. He's got another point.
Listen, I've had many people come up to me and compliment me on my monologues. Thank you.
People, I enjoy your monologues after we edit them.
This is part 6 of Chris's monologue.
Yeah. The longest on top ever.
I got some jokes. I did get some jokes cut. I think so, yeah.
Oh.
I think it was fair enough, you know.
No, you'd be like, oh, we should take that out and post and then. Like, and then Jared would leave it in.
That was one of our moves. So one of my favorite shticks that Matt ever did was the New Year's episode a couple of years ago, where he acted like you guys were having a fireside chat. Do you guys remember this? I know Ian and Chris were there. Was Johnny there? I think Johnny was there. I think it was you four. And it was like the first episode of the new year. And you're like talking about how great our productions are. And then you started describing things that you heard.
And I want to do a special tribute to the editors and the sound technicians. They go above and beyond, I think, every year and deserve a bit of recognition. Just listen to this fire crackle at this fireside event. It's just, you know, you can hear it. It's in HD. It's amazing. And listen in the distance, birdsong there fading as the winter sun sets across these snowy rooftops. You can almost hear water trickling underneath the frozen surface of a stream, right? So not just water, it's underneath kind of a layer of ice, so it's muffled in some way. Isn't that beautiful? An articulated lorry careens around an icy corner.
You had each person say something they heard going on, like someone screams out for help, and we had to go back in post-production and like find all those sound effects and put them in. Otherwise, it wouldn't make any sense. And we thought about just leaving them all out and making you look so stupid, but we played along.
That's real.
Yeah,
that's funny.
That was great. That was great. There was a bit of meta trolling, which I always think is good. Yeah, I think it's healthy, isn't it?
I think there was a number of times where you had to like sandwich in positives after something like a little bit dodgy happened. I think that happened a lot, where... individuals would say something about certain individuals in the community, and then you have to be, yeah, but they also are great at this. And I think they're actually wonderful. And shout out actually to them.
That feels targeted, because, Angelica.
Yeah, I think that might be going in a specific direction. Most of us are nice.
I just think some of us who have, you know, like to talk and have a lot of really strong opinions, sometimes say opinions that I just want to make sure, you know, like we pad a little bit with the sandwiches of positivity.
Yeah.
I do find myself emphasizing, like taking the like opposite opinion in a lot of episodes purposefully so that it doesn't feel too in like one area, which I think has got me in trouble a number of times because I've started down a route or an argument that I actually don't think is true. Oh, no. And then someone's asked me a question about it and I've been like, it's a great question. I would be intrigued to hear your answer. Actually, for that,
like, that spin great right back question.
At him. The amount of times that I've done that, like, great question. I'd actually,
yeah, before you know it, you're a flat earther denying the existence of Australians.
Well, don't go that far.
I do remember arguing with Chris and being, by the time I got done arguing, being like, actually, I'm wrong.
Oh, that's good.
Talk about humility. Hey, that's a good thing right there.
Yeah, argued you into submission.
Yeah.
Because you were actually wrong, or you just wanted Chris to stop?
Can it be both?
Okay, you win. You win.
Yeah, fine.
Let's end the show.
I'll have you know, one of my new co-hosts loves my rants and is excited to talk with me about them. So
I think they're great.
We all love your rants.
We all love your rants, Chris.
We rip into you. It's a form of endearment and love. We wouldn't tease you if we didn't like you. We'd just be really nice.
We'd also tease you if we didn't like you.
Yeah.
But not in front of your face.
Ah, okay.
not to your face.
If we tease you to your face, we like you. It's when you don't hear anything negative that you should be worried.
Now you mention it, Angelica. I don't ever hear anything negative about me.
I need to shout louder.
Yeah.
you've tuned her out.
You'll get a voice memo next time.
I feel there's been many a roast to Matt episodes, and I feel if they start with Angelica saying something, I feel like it's that Brit to Brit energy.
That's true.
Well, there was the reunion episode where we brought back Brian, Carlesia, and Eric.
Yeah.
And it turned into a Matt roast-a-thon. Like, everybody was coming after Matt. I feel like you were hosting, it might have even been a Gopher Say, or it was a game show that we were playing with them. It was like a episode 200 or 300 or one of these anniversary episodes.
Yeah.
And Carlesia just let you have it, I remember. And I was in the background just laughing because it was almost like the Brady Bunch, you know, where the maid is in the middle and the whole Brady Bunch surrounds her and she's like looking around at everybody. That was you, only they were just like belting you with insults the entire episode.
Chris, if you had to pick, one, what would you say is your favorite GUID?
Favorite what?
GUID, Globally Unique Identifier. Microsoft loves GUIDs. I don't know what you do. You have a favorite, Chris? Any caught your eye?
No. So I'll just answer Eric's question instead because I like that one. So I prefer dark mode for my editor and light mode for everything else.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Strike the balance.
Great. Okay. I'm really not getting the respect I'd hoped for on this with people just choosing their own questions, but let's press on. I'll press on.
That's the problem with having a show full of hosts.
That's true. Everybody.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Have we met?
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly,
that was awesome.
Yeah, was it? That does happen though. Like that happens
on the regular.
Well, it happens.
That's just a thing that happens.
On, I think if you listen to GoTime and like you feel like you really get to know each other. So we feel like people feel like they really know us, like we're their friends. So that shortcuts a lot of social usual etiquette. And what happens is they leap straight
people
into
just make fun of you in real life too.
Yeah, they're just immediately like, you've got a really high hairline. I'll just say that. I mean, yeah. And it's a joke.
This is the opener.
It's just rude. You know,
it's a callback to something I've said.
It's like, excuse me, who are you? Yeah.
They'll sometimes make jokes like at me, which are callbacks to things which I've said on the podcast, which I've forgotten. So again, they're just raw insults just in the moment.
Opening wounds.
And you're like, why is this person insulting me?
Yeah. Well, I learned eventually. Yeah. Oh, I see. It's like, we're being friends. Yeah. But it's funny.
Oh man.
Someone said, is that a wig?
Oh no, really?
Yeah. Is that a wig? Why would I choose this? as a wig. Do you know what I mean? Imagine going, have you gone into a wig shop on a budget?
They're saying you're bald and have bad taste.
Right. Yeah. I'd rather just leave it as it is. Yeah, but
Matt, how about that episode that we did that was just you traveling to GopherCon?
Oh yeah.
And that old lady called you a wanker at the end. Remember
that? Yeah.
Wow. And you said thank you because you had figured out that that was their way.
Did you keep that in?
Oh, we had to. It's not a cuss word over here in the States. We don't know what it means.
It got through the filters. It's in the episode. It's shocking.
If I swear, just not in anything that American.
Yeah, you can use is bollocks. Is that a swear too? We don't know. It just sounds cool.
Bollocks doesn't sound cool, does it?
We don't know what it means. It's like whatever.
This podcast is in American English.
No, but that's true. That was me. I went to GopherCon EU. I was hosting it, so right. I had to get the flight and everything. And I just thought it'd be funny to record.
Just using your iPhone, weren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Just the voice memos. So I just recorded bits, and then when something funny happened, I would just record a little bit about it. And it's one of the episodes. It's nice because
you got back and you just send it all to me, and you're like, "Can you do something with this?" And
yeah.
Like, oh, great.
I tried to send them in the right order. That was important. Yeah. But otherwise,
it turned out pretty nice actually. It's kind of a funny shorter episode.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, Matt's GopherCon EU diary episode 250.
Everyone was saying Danke because I was in Germany, so they were saying Danke, and I thought they were saying the other thing.
Wanker.
Yeah.
Bleep that one.
Bleep it in the UK.
That's right.
Yeah.
I do appreciate how much work that, you know, you, Jared, and the rest of the Changelog post-production team put into making us sound good. So I know there's some episodes where we were just saying stuff and I was like, I don't know how they're going to fix this. And then you listen to it and it's like, nah, this sounds great. So
yeah.
Taking out my 45-second pause before I answer a question.
That does help, doesn't it?
And now that I have to do that on the other side, I'm like, oh, right. This is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Especially when you got to do video, too. Oof.
Well, shout out to our editor, Jason, who did the content edits for Go Time and the mastering for Go Time for the last couple of years. And so without him, it was even harder.
Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, Jason's awesome.
Thanks, Jason. Yeah, it's true. And, you know, guests would also say that. They'd say, one time someone asked me where the script was.
Wow.
And I said, no, there's no script. And they're like, what? This is just happens? So that was a big compliment, quite a surprise as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so they were surprised by once you, it feels very natural when you're actually, you know, it's just like a Zoom call. You sat chatting about something.
Exactly.
And you quickly forget about the mics and you quickly forget you're on a podcast, don't you? So you end up just talking in a little group, basically. So that's the experience. And then when it comes out, the people were very shocked by exactly that, the production value, just how good it sounds when it's in that context, how legit it sounds next to other podcasts. Like, yeah, people are very complimentary and thrilled to be on it. I think, like you said, we had so many guests, we had so many different people speaking, talking about all sorts of stuff. We had more speakers than a Bang & Olufsen restaurant.
That one was scripted.
No, but is that, what would that be, loud or just high quality audio restaurant?
Oh,
but lots of people had a great time also doing their episodes, and I think that's quite nice too. They've got their own little bits they can point to.
And do we have any highlights from the panel in terms of an episode that you love or something you may go back to and listen to even once Go Time is dead and gone?
I still love that maintenance miniseries that I did. Like, just really love those episodes. I don't know what it is about those episodes, but like, go back and listen to them, and I'm like, there's a lot of interesting stuff in there. It's like good stuff.
It's actionable stuff, I think. That's what I like. I like those episodes where you can listen to it and then you know you're changed at the end of it because now you think in a slightly different way about some problem.
Like how to eat Cheetos while you're coding.
Yeah, exactly. With chopsticks.
It changed my life. I haven't tried it yet, but mentally I'm different.
Yeah. He types with Twizzlers as well. I don't know where he's playing that. I love the defer one.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Go on.
No, go on.
I'll defer to you, Matt.
Oh, now we have to leave it in.
No, I'll do it in a bit.
Ooh. Double defer.
No, you have to do it now.
Triple defer. Who's the most courteous? It's a courteous off.
Yeah, it's a polite off.
There you go.
Okay, Matt, so what I liked the best was...
She got shushed.
The real Angelica, please stand up.
Who owns our code?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you manufactured a car wheel and the car wheel explodes because you used bad materials in that case, in the car wheel, then we have some well-developed laws and intuitions around like, okay, well, we sue the car wheel manufacturer. Software doesn't have any of that really yet. We've sort of operated in this rules-free zone where everybody was like, software's so cool. I guess we'll just let it happen. And, you know, I think that age is coming to an end.
I love that one. I love that part one and two.
I literally put that in the notes.
Yo, Angelica, how did you steal in Ian's favorite episodes?
Yeah.
Because I loved it because I think it I learned so much and I think it was really interesting. We got a really great guest who really know what they were talking about, which was great. I think I just, it was one of the episodes where I came out of it feeling both that I had learned a lot and like really enjoyed the conversation, but also that it was an episode that would be really helpful for anyone who was interested in that question. So I loved doing that one. I think that was great.
Yeah, that one was approachable yet insightful.
That's a nice advert.
That sounded like a Goodreads, didn't it?
It would be a nice advert if we didn't have the police sirens, the New York police sirens in the background.
Listen, there's a lot going on in the city.
Yeah, there was like a peaceful sort of mindfulness thing, except you've got the horrific sort of sirens going off. So right. Terrible's happened.
You get used to it. You kind of drown it out.
Yeah.
Breathe in. Wee, 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 wee. Breathe out.
The sirens I don't mind. What I do mind is people honking their horn for 90 seconds at 2 a.m. Those people. Yeah. Like, when congestion pricing finally was like, yeah, we're doing it. I'm like, good. It should be double. So I'm tired of these people honking their horns at night. Just keep raising it till people stop honking their horns.
There should be an SLO for how much you're allowed to spend on your horn. And if you spend it all, you can spend it all in one go, but that's it. Then you have to shut up for the rest of the week.
You're done.
Yeah. So more likely you want little paps, just like pap, pap, just to let, you know, just to let them know you're there. That's all it's for. Yeah.
Thank you, Observability Matt.
That's right. A range of products available at Grafana Labs.
This sentence brought to you by
Grafana Labs Incorporated.
You're going to steal mine. Don't steal it.
Okay. Well, which one is yours? I've got two. I'll pick the other one. See what a good sport I am.
My favorite Go Time episode of all times.
Yes.
Was episode 235, 2053.
Yeah.
A Go Odyssey with Ron Evans from the future. This was the best and a complete surprise and delight to me because I had nothing to do with it until it showed up in post-production. And I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And so much so that we've had Ron on Changelog and Friends a few times. He's a regular over there. Mm-hmm. And I had him go through the entire backstory of how that episode came together. So there's a 20-minute storytelling session over there of Ron's perspective of that. But this was just too much, Matt. This was kind of not your idea, but you prompted him to have this idea, right?
Yeah, we talked about mistakes that he saw that we're making and he wanted to talk about them. And so the idea was he would beam in from the future.
This is the reason why I'm making this call. I'm using all of the battery energy that I've saved for several years in order to make this transmission to send you a warning from the future. You see, I am the last Go programmer alive in 2053.
What? No, don't say that.
And it's terrible. All I do is maintenance programming. I haven't added a new feature in over 20 years.
So he's in like a dystopian future and he's beamed in like somehow and he's interrupted the signal and then he's telling us warnings from the future. That was the idea. And he was in a studio, like a set. Yeah. He had like LED lights. It looked like he was genuinely like, it's a podcast. It's not on video.
Right.
Although I think that is, isn't it?
We were doing Go Time Live back then on YouTube.
Right.
And so there was a live video. But yeah, for the large majority of the audience, they did not get to see what he looked like that day. And it was preposterous and amazing.
Yeah. And it's worth listening to just because it's such a character. And Natalie and I are sort of just trying to tame him really on that episode.
You guys played along really well. It was really well done.
That's all you could do. All you can do with Ron is yes and. That's my advice to you if you meet him in real life. And you'll have a great time. Actually, he's a fantastic bloke as well. And he does a lot for the Go community. So again, it's nice to celebrate Ron. But yeah, that episode. And also I loved John Gregory's talk. He did the seven deadly gopher sins around Halloween one time.
Oh, yeah.
So seven, he translated some classical list of deadly sins and into go sins. Yeah, and what a fun way to sort of look at it and go through it. And I don't think we ever got any complaints, did we, Jared? Did we get ever any complaints for any episodes or anything?
That's a lot of evers and anys. Yes, we've gotten complaints throughout the years, but not about that particular episode, I don't think.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has opinions on it's the internet, right? So we have opinions and complaints. But
that'd be a good episode.
Just to read them all off.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the mean tweets thing they do. Yeah.
Go time to hate.
Well, there's an old adage on the internet. Don't feed the trolls, you know?
There are some horrendous individuals out there, so let's not do that.
Oh, there's not, is there? Oh.
We're not going to bring the mood down.
No. That's right.
Keep the mood up.
Keep the mood up. There's been so much positive feedback on Go Time. Let's read some of that out. Let's make a song or a rap about all the positive things we said in episode. And I'm going to tap Matt, because you're great at jingles, and I also feel obligated to say something nice to you, because I've been a little bit of a not nice person to you during this entire episode. You should do the jingle, because you're so great. Aww. Also, that was an example of where I was not trying to be sarcastic. But being English makes me sound sarcastic. I think that would be very fun, and maybe we can do it for the five-year reunion.
Oh, that would be so fun. Yeah.
Five-year reunion? It's in like 2029? I don't want to think that far out.
Time will fly when you're having fun.
Yeah, so don't have fun.
If you're having fun.
Well, don't have fun is the advice, isn't it?
It's an if condition.
Time flies. Time is going too quick, so...
Yeah.
Apparently, though, that's because, you need more diversity in your day, if that's happening. So get out there, kids.
Yeah, just look at some social media. That'll give you some diversity.
I love how Matt tried to turn that into a teachable moment. Ian has to pop off... Ian, anything to say before you say goodbye?
Oh, I feel on the spot now.
Well, you are, man.
No, just sad to see this go, but I'm excited for Fall Through. I hope you'll join us over there. I think you'll like it. We've got one episode in the bag, and I think you'll like it.
Nice.
You got to have some sort of a come on. You got to have you got to say, hey, come on through. Won't you fall through? Like something. You gotta sell it, man. You gotta sell it.
Fall on through to the other side, you know, like the old song.
I'll let Chris come up with that.
We do have a little singer at the end of our trailer. It's a little play on words.
Can't be follow through. Can't be that.
No.
Follow through. There's no way around. Only through. I mean, you know, like workshopping, you know.
I'm sure it'll figure it out. We got some big things planned, so I'm sure something will fall out of it. So
you were so fall close there. Yeah, you need to get Johnny on board. He's got all the funds.
Yeah, man. I'll see you through it.
Make sure you never fall. Okay.
All right. Well, I will see you all at the reunion. 5 years from
awesome.
Now.
See you
hopefully before then. We've just been talking about how we all like it.
See you in 5 years, suckers.
We've just been talking about how much we all like each other. Bye, I never have to see you again.
All right. Oh, man. See you soon. And goodbye.
Much better.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
See ya on the go time on fall through. Go time on fall through. That's what we gotta do. Listen, there were plenty of go time puns, so there'll be plenty of fall through puns. It'll come out in the wash.
It takes time to percolate, you know?
Yeah.
You gotta work through some of those.
Exactly. There's gonna be a lot of through things.
Maybe by next fall you'll have some.
Fall. Yeah, a lot of falling, a lot of throughing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we could have all said goodbye, unless Matt, is there more on your agenda for this? I mean, how do you end? It's like the end in the final episode of Seinfeld. I don't know.
Yeah.
In Seinfeld, they all just walked different directions, you know? Actually, that was not the finale. Oh. And in the finale of Seinfeld, they were all in jail, I think.
Oh, were they?
So let's not do that.
No.
But there is the episode where they, are you guys Seinfeld watchers? They all get off of the subway and the episode's over and they don't really know what to do. They're all just standing there and they all just walk different directions and the episode ends. I thought it was kind of poetic.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, I suppose we will walk our different directions from here.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Without our signature last segment?
Could we do it?
I feel unpops
wrong. Oh.
But think of how unpopular that would be.
Unpopular.
Exactly. Isn't that the perfect?
Oh, good point.
Isn't that the perfect way to end?
Final unpopular opinion.
We get some troll on the internet saying, psh, "Y'all just mailed it in."
Final unpopular opinion. Unpopular opinions are not good.
You don't want me to randomly think of an unpopular opinion. Jared told me a number of times that doesn't work.
Okay, friends, I'm with a good friend of mine, Avthar Suwathin from Timescale. They are positioning Postgres for everything from IoT, sensors, AI, dev tools, crypto, and finance apps. So Avthar, help me understand why Timescale feels Postgres is most well-positioned to be the database for AI applications.
It's the most popular database according to the Stack Overflow developer survey. And Postgres, one of the distinguishing characteristics is that it's extensible. And so you can extend it for use cases beyond just relational and transactional data for use cases like time series and analytics. That's kind of where Timescale, the company, started, as well as now more recently, vector search and vector storage, which are super impactful for applications like RAG, recommendation systems, and even AI agents, which we're seeing, you know, more and more of those things today.
Yeah, Postgres is super powerful. It's well-loved by developers. I feel like more devs, because they know it, it can enable more developers to become AI developers, AI engineers, and build AI apps.
From our side, we think Postgres is really the no-brainer choice. You don't have to manage a different database. You don't have to deal with data synchronization and data isolation because you have like three different systems and three different sources of truth. And one area where we've done work in is around the performance and scalability. So we've built an extension called PG Vector Scale that enhances the performance and scalability of Postgres so that you can use it with confidence for large-scale AI applications like RAG and agents and such. And then also another area is, coming back to something that you said, enabling more and more developers to make the jump into building AI applications and become AI engineers using the expertise that they already have. And so that's where we built the PG AI extension that brings LLMs to Postgres to enable things like LLM reasoning on your Postgres data, as well as embedding creation. And for all those reasons, I think, you know, when you're building an AI application, you don't have to use something new. You can just use Postgres.
Well, friends, learn how Timescale is making Postgres powerful. Over 3 million Timescale databases power IoT, sensors, AI, dev tools, crypto, and finance applications, and they do it all on Postgres. Timescale uses Postgres for everything, and now you can too. Learn more at timescale.com. Again, timescale.com.
Well, I do have one, and mine is that my password is too complicated now. It's slowing me down.
That's your password?
That's not my password.
slowing me down? Slowing me down?
I'll be right back. I got to go log in with a bank account.
It's longer than that. It's this really long, secure password because it had it hammered into me by security people who came on GoTime and told me, you need a nice, big, long password. I use one password. Or an equivalent password manager. I don't want to give too many clues away to the hackers.
Where is it that you log into this password manager?
So it remembers all my complicated passwords. So the real passwords are way too complicated for me. But my one for that even, and for my computers and stuff, is just too much. And I'm losing, I think over the year, it's hours here I'm talking about.
Yeah, use a passkey. Isn't that the new hotness? A passkey.
How do you sign it? How do you log into your computer with it?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, that's what the biometrics use, that fingerprint, bro.
Yeah.
No, I've got a cool mechanical keyboard that's heavy and metal. So I want to
use that. That's what's slowing you down.
That is slowing me down.
It's heavy?
It's very heavy, actually.
And metal?
Made of metal, yeah.
Okay, well, I have an unpopular opinion. My unpopular opinion is that Matt's unpopular opinion was actually a joke hidden as an unpopular opinion.
Mm.
And that our listeners are actually going to love it, and so they would vote yes. So I think it was good. My unpopular opinion is that yours was a good one.
Oh, that's quite meta, isn't it? I didn't know you were allowed to turn the unpopular opinion format against each other.
My unpopular opinion is that your unpopular opinions are not that unpopular.
Get him, Johnny. Yeah, not so big now, eh, Jared? Johnny works out. He works out.
Oh, I feel like I just played rock and Johnny played paper right on top of it.
Yeah, oh yeah. Another unpopular one I've got is like AI, like we don't really need to code as much as we used to now with AI helpers. And I think everyone should embrace them and get them to accelerate what they're doing. That's my, and maybe that's unpopular, but
certainly unpopular with me, but
I know. And I think there's the ethical side. I think that ship has sailed. I just don't see how we put that genie back in the bottle. Mm. And therefore, let's
embrace it.
Let's use it to our advantage.
Just let's embrace it. Just throw ethics to the wind.
I was like this with the calculator though. When that came out, I was the same. So
you were trying to stick to the abacus.
Probably spell check and grammar check too. You were like, oh, yeah. Let's just use these tools all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, how old are you, Matt?
Ancient.
Oh yeah, the calculator. No, that was out already.
Are you actually 70?
That was out for ages before I was born. Not born. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I mean, if your hairline is any indication, you might be up there, right?
Oh. I was this close to making the same joke.
Almost made it off the pod about that.
Oh, it's evergreen. It's evergreen.
It's certainly not. What I always say, what my mum told me is, what I lack in hair, I more than make up for in face. And so if face is your thing, I'm your man.
Yeah. Do you want to know something?
Yes, please.
In the few interactions that we've had, Matt, I've heard you tell that joke 3 times.
Oh, no.
He forgets. Oh, no. Perhaps it's a sign of age. I don't know. He forgets.
That's true.
It's a go-to.
It's also not a joke.
I love it.
It's like you trigger a subroutine, you know, that Matt just calls a function.
Matt, you just keeps walking. He's the one walking right into them, you know?
Matt, do you have a stock response for when someone says what Angelica just said to you?
Well, I just let people have their moment, really. I don't want to.
What'd your mom always tell you about this moment?
She said, if you haven't got anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
That one is fresh. I've never heard that one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. That's boring to that, Mom.
Matt's sincerely regretting this unpop segment.
Well, yeah, so I don't know. Chris, what do you think about AI? Do you not use cursor?
We don't have all day.
Switching up.
Well, here's a good model. No.
Meatball Chris, what do you think about AI? Take the stage.
No, but like using it to make coding quicker.
I mean, like generative AI is, I mean, yeah, it helps you in the short term, but I just think the long-term ramifications are pretty rough, right? Like, we're currently in industry that's in crisis because not enough people know how to build enough of the stuff. So we don't have good ways of, you know, really building solid low-level stuff that we need. You have like 3 people maintaining some of the most critical infrastructure that we have. And like, you don't want people building OpenSSL to be using, you know, AI, you know, generated code. Also, AI is gonna, you know, be average kind of by definition. It's taking in all the code, the good, the bad, the best, and it's spitting out the medium of it. So I guess if we want to all have a bunch of average code, but like, I don't know, over here in America, we like being number one, the best. And that's not gonna happen if you just have a bunch of average code floating out there. You want to have the best code. And the best code requires some human element and some training and some, you know, a little more than what AI can give you. But if you want to sit down and use it, I'm like, okay, but just be prepared to fall behind and not be as good in the future.
Yeah, you definitely have to still be a part of the process. You can't just let it do it. I asked it once to retry an HTTP request if it failed, and it just put that code in line. And so I was like, no, I don't want that. I want you to create a type that can do this, and then we'll use that. You know, so you are still... You do still need that knowledge. You can't really get away from that. And I think you also need to own the code that it generates as well. Like you said, you can't just be...
It's like one of those, it sounds like a good idea until you realize that you already need to have the knowledge of how to write the code well in order to use it. Yeah. And then if you already have the knowledge of how to write the code well, then why do you need this thing that's writing the code for you? Why not focus on tools or language features that allow you to write that code more concisely in the first place? So it's like... Yeah, sure. If you have to write a whole bunch of verbose code to implement this thing, AI might help you, but we could also be working on adding more language features or more IDE features that just allow us to write those things more concisely, or building libraries that allow us to write that more concisely. And then you're not dealing with kind of the garbage that AI tends to spit out quite often.
Yeah, I think the technology that is doing what you describe is the AI. I think that is the technology that is helping us do those things better. And it's a trade-off, like you say, it's not always perfect. It's not always right. You still really do have to, you have to kind of babysit it. It's like having a junior dev that can type really quickly. But yeah, it's like autocomplete. I mean, it is autocomplete really in a way.
It's like autocomplete that's just wrong 10% of the time or more.
Yeah, if you keep an eye on it though and guide it.
But 90% though, that takes you a long way. I mean, in most cases, that's good enough. So,
but I do think like we'd also, for individual usage, I think it's good. But when you look at like also like how much energy and all of that it takes to train it and the impact it's having on the world, it doesn't really seem like it's worth it so that you can write your code a little bit faster. It just seems like maybe we should not be boiling the planet so that, you know, I don't have to go learn some library or something like that, or so I can ask the computer questions that I should probably already know the answer to.
Well, unfortunately, Chris in New York deciding on moral grounds not to use AI because he doesn't want the oceans to boil is going to have zero impact on the industry's movement towards that trend.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I'm not saying like we're just going to stop AI tomorrow, but I don't know. So I'm going to ask my opinion, so I give my opinion.
Yeah, no, and you, I think you, it's quite convincing. I think you might convince some people. It was just that we did hackathon, and I was writing React code, which I've never really written, TypeScript, React. I was dealing with that stuff, and probably prototype-y quality level. If we're honest, it's not. Yeah, I would want someone who really knows it to probably rewrite it, frankly, at this moment. But yeah, there's times where that autocomplete just really does accelerate it. There are other times where its suggestions lead you down the wrong path. And I have the experience enough maybe to know that, and others might not. And so I do think we have to be cautious with this. But you know, you have to know what to press on a calculator too.
I would say, if I were to have an unpopular opinion about this topic, I would say that we should stop calling it artificial intelligence and start calling it like maybe digital intelligence, or just call it intelligence. It feels kind of derogatory to computers to call it like artificial. Like, what's special about human intelligence that we got to call it artificial over there? Why can't it just be, you know, regular intelligence?
Yeah.
But then if you go look at the actual history and path of where we got to artificial intelligence,
that's how it starts. We're annoying them so much. Yeah. They just say, you know what? Let's take these humans out.
Well, not that much, but it's just like when you scratch that surface, you find some things that are less than pleasant. So I think that's why the artificial is there a lot of the time. But I'm in favor of, you know, just call intelligence. Let's start defining what intelligence means and broadening that field, and then figure out how digital computers can augment human intelligence and make us better at what we do, instead of just trying to recreate human intelligence. Like, I don't know, something that augments us, makes us better.
Yeah.
Doesn't try to be us. Digital computers are not biological entities. So
right.
I like your last like 20 seconds.
Jared's like, I'm just gonna edit it down to that 20 seconds.
Yeah, that might be all people hear.
I was just gonna, I'm just gonna clip it right there.
That was a good 20 seconds, Chris.
Yeah, but there's like build up to get to that, you know.
Yeah,
but for an actual unpopular opinion,
yeah,
I'm actually happy that Go Time is ending and that we're actually starting something new with a different name. Like, I think that there's a lot that I love about Go Time, but it started to feel, at least for me, a little constraining being so focused on Go. And I wanted to kind of expand out just a little bit more. And I feel like that's what we're going to do with Fall Through. So I'm like really excited for that. And I would much rather us kind of make that move now when Go Time is still at its height, still shipping regularly, still having lots of listeners, instead of at a point in time in the future where it just kind of fades away into nothingness. So I'm happy that it's ending, as bittersweet as that is.
I can't wait to see that one go out on the polls to find out if people think that's unpopular, Chris. I hope they do. Hopefully that wins the all-time. That just smashes it and wins the entire thing.
I mean, I've had some really unpopular opinions, Matt, so I don't
know. Yeah.
None from Angelica.
No, I don't have an unpopular opinion, because whenever I do an unpopular opinion, Jared tells me off because because it's too random.
It's the last time, Angelica. Just generate one. Kind of.
Just generate
one. We'll cut it out in post.
Yeah, we'll cut it out anyway.
Yeah, just generate one. We'll cut it out later.
My unpopular opinion is that people that know little to nothing about the topic at hand are much more interesting to listen to than people who know it, think they know everything about it.
Ooh, I like it.
Is that the Dunning-Kruger thing, or am I just making it up because I don't know enough about it?
Because, and the reason I say this is because people who acknowledge that they know little to nothing about a topic, I think, will be more curious, will ask more interesting questions, will make things more accessible for others, and will lower the barrier to entry. So there is reasoning behind this unpopular opinion.
I love it, Angelica. I think you just won the podcast right there.
Thank you.
Because you're describing yourself on the show, right?
No.
like a low-key shade a little bit.
No, because you, from your earlier statement about the new eyes.
Jared out here dragging people. Like,
no, I just feel like maybe I should let her left unsaid, I guess.
Jeez.
She just won the show.
Jared.
That's the final episode. Get it? Let's get it all out. Let's get it all out on the table.
Tell
Come
me
on.
How you really feel, Jared.
Well, we have to end it now, I guess.
Hey, what about my unpopular opinion? Like, why? I don't matter.
Yours was that mine was bad.
Oh, that's real. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I did get it in.
It was so long ago that you forgot about it.
Come on, Johnny. We got to get one more Johnny unpopular opinion.
Go ahead, Johnny. Angelica has to bounce, but
All right.
Yeah.
And actually, this one's a serious one for me because over the last couple of years, I think I've really, like, social media has really sort of turned me sort of off. I really don't like, I don't find the same joy in using Twitter as I once did, or even now, like Blue Sky, and that's like spinning up and there's some activity and it's a little better. But now it just feels like everything is just about attention grabbing and just trying to spike my stress for views and engagement farming. Like, everything just seems to be like just seeking something other than just community building, right? It's just hyper commercialized, and it just feels different. And honestly, I'm contemplating just, you know, getting off all these things, you know, shutting down accounts, deleting these things. And it's just like, it's no longer like I find myself sort of valuing, I always did sort of value the face-to-face interactions, but, you know, but the thing is, I wouldn't have met the people that I now know, like, you know, all of you, right? You know, I met you online before I met you in person. I wouldn't have never come across, you know, and build these relationships without, you know, having these online communities. But man, I'm wondering what the trade-off is now, right? Because every time I go online, you know, it's just like I feel worse for wear, having experience, you know, online and everything else. I'm just like I feel like I don't want to be in these spaces anymore, you know. So I'm contemplating just shutting these accounts down. Just you know, it'll be sad, but I don't know. Perhaps I'm at the point in my life where I'm like, perhaps I value my mental health more than, you know, follower counts or likes or, you know, things like that. But I still have a presence in the community. I still like to do good things. I still like to have workshops. I still like to, you know, reach people in some way. But maybe I need to find a different way to do that that doesn't involve, you know, being on these platforms, because they're just not good for my mental health.
Yeah, that really resonates. I don't know how unpopular that will be, honestly. Yeah, I feel like that's true. Like, there are times when it's nice, but you just can tell it's algorithms feeding you stuff. Like, I get notifications for things which are sort of would outrage me if I read it and took it literally.
Mm-hmm.
That would be out. And so I'm getting notifications for things to outrage me now through that X app. I don't get it through the others, but yeah, it's like, and I know why that's happening. You know, it's just literally to drive all that attention. But I think so. I think, but I do feel like we need to change. Like, we need to grow up now out of this into something else. And I think that's what will inevitably happen. I don't know what that looks like yet, but yeah, I know what you mean. I think breaks, especially, take breaks from that. If you find yourself waking up and the first thing you're doing is scrolling and just having
scrolling.
Like 100 different ideas very quickly injected into your brain immediately, that is an unusual thing to happen. And certainly, like, I mean, you wouldn't say it was a very natural thing in you know, how we've lived before. So yeah, there is something about that. I know people that, and I do this sometimes, I don't always remember, but basically leave your phone elsewhere, not near your bed. so that it is a different thing that you have to, you know, it's not the thing that you became, where it's just like an extension of yourself. It's a tool that you use sometimes. So that was quite nice to do that a bit.
Yeah, I watched a YouTube video about, I don't know if it was about attention spans, but it was about like maybe attention spans and social media.
How long was it?
Did you get to the end?
The Lincoln presidential debates and how they were like 3 hours long, and there was like a 1 hour opening statement. And because people were used to reading books, they could like hold their attention for that whole hour and hold that attention over the course of 3 hours. And now that we're so used to like short snippets of information that we consume, we just don't have as much of the ability to do that. But one of the ways you can kind of combat that, because our brains are so plasticky and they can kind of mold to, they have plasticity, that's the word, not plastic, they have plasticity, and they can mold to new things, like you can actually train yourself out of that by like turning off your phone for a day and sitting down and reading books, and you can kind of get yourself out of that consumption of really short snippets of information and the doom scrolling and all of that. But it's definitely hard.
Yeah, so this is kind of quite a nice way to sort of round this up, I think, you know, taking a break from your socials and taking a break from things and do something different, do something new, seems to be a nice theme. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think, yeah, I've loved Go Time. I'm really pleased it happened. It's something that I'll always hold dear, and it's helped me tremendously, frankly. Like, you know, yeah. Cheers, here's razor glass to Go Time and to everyone that helped make it happen. Cheers.
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 And thanks to you all for listening. It wouldn't be a podcast without your ears.
Not technically true, but carry on.
You can have your ears back now.
Technically not true, but spiritually true.
Spiritually, definitely.
All right, that is it. Our big Go Time finale. Thank you. Seriously, thank you so much for listening to Go Time all these years. We could have never kept it going for 340 episodes without our loyal listeners. Of course, the spirit of Go Time lives on the Fall Through podcast, fallthrough.fm, and on the Changelog podcast, especially Changelog and Friends, which is our Friday talk show flavor of the Changelog. Matt will continue to be a regular, Johnny too, and all the Go Time gang have a standing offer to join us on Changelog and Friends. And you can join us too by subscribing to the Changelog anywhere you get your podcasts. One last thank you to our longtime partners and sponsors, Fly.io and Sentry.io. Thank you for believing in this podcast and all the shows we make at Changelog. And thanks, of course, to our Beat Freak in Residence, Breakmaster Cylinder. Go Time wouldn't be the same without you, BMC. In fact, I've already heard from a couple of listeners who are going to miss having the Go Time theme song in their life. Pro tip, you don't have to. Go Time's theme is streamable and purchasable, just like all of our Changelog beats. It's on our theme songs album. Just search for Changelog Beats. Wherever you listen to music, you'll find us. That's all for me for the last time on Go Time. We'll be right back.